The following edition of Sioux Valley Voice was recorded earlier today. Sioux Valley Voice airs live every other Wednesday at 10 a.m. The next show will be on July 2nd. Good morning. You're listening to KTNA 88.9 FM Talkeetna. This week on Sioux Valley Voice, my guest is Beth Valentine, president of the Talkeetna Chamber of Commerce. We'll be discussing business in the Upper Valley, specifically tourism. The number of visitors to the Upper Valley is growing each year, and more businesses are popping up. If you want to join in on our conversation, you can call 733-1200, send an email to dj@ktna.org, or leave a message on the KTNA Facebook page. Beth Valentine, thanks for joining us.
It's lovely to be here.
So we've got a number of topics we want to cover today, but I guess we'll just start with a little bit about you. I mean, you're obviously heavily involved in the Chamber of Commerce. You grew up here, which I'm sure some listeners know, but some may not. Grew up in the area, have kind of seen the tourism boom grow over the years.
Yes, it's dramatically changed. We have neighborhoods that are gone and neighborhoods that have showed up and a whole new Main Street. It's amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously now tourism, especially in the summertime, is really kind of the lifeblood of the town. You know, we were talking a little bit before we came on the air, thousands of people every day coming through here in the summertime. Is there a decent estimate overall? I mean, I know the state tourism organizations do some counts, but do we have a good idea of how many we see?
I'm thinking that we're seeing around, after talking to quite a few different people, different like Princess Heads, Talkeetna Alaskan Lodge, I think mm-hmm. we're seeing close to 300,000 to 350,000 tourists.
That's incredible.
And that's ones that have been counted. The private travelers are a little bit harder to get numbers on.
Sure, right. Well, and beyond that, beyond people coming from outside, you've got people who just drive up from Anchorage for the weekend,
yep.
especially on the big holidays.
Bringing relatives up.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, of the ones we can count, we're thinking close to 300,000, which, I mean, for a town of, 867, I think, is the census data for Talkeetna from 2010. That's just incredible. And, I mean, one of the things we're going to discuss a little bit later is how a town this size supports that many people, however
yes.
briefly they're here. Part of that, we've seen a lot of businesses grow and a lot of new businesses show up. Do you have how many members does the chamber have at the moment?
Oh boy, I should have checked that, but I think we're right around 140. We've grown also.
Wow.
We did a membership drive, and we extensively did a membership drive till May. In fact, I have 6,000 maps in my car my husband picked up last night. And so all the members are going to be getting their 25 free maps, and then they're going to be able to buy them too. But of Talkeetna, our chambers, I think we voted in around 12 brand new businesses this winter.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're talking massive growth at that point. And so, I mean, are these all kind of tourism-centered businesses that you're seeing, the new ones coming in?
Yes, we had one accounting business, but they do accounting for all the tourism
right.
businesses. And so I think we have three to five businesses. I should check that again, too. But that have nothing to do with tourism.
Okay.
Or visitors coming in. So 95-98% are all tourism related.
And so, I mean, are you seeing with this, are a lot of the folks starting businesses here? I mean, are these people coming in from outside? Are these folks who have lived here their whole lives and decide to start a business, kind of like what you've done?
I think most of these people were Alaskans, and they were working in some other area, and then they started. We've seen new nonprofits join.
Mm.
We've seen new adventures like the bike rental and mm-hmm. different things, new parking places, the Susitna Salmon Center, just to name a few. I mean, I think of Firehorse Accounting. We've got Shirley's Burger Barn that joined. We've you know, there's new little businesses popping up, new big businesses popping up all over in Talkeetna. And, you know, things like we need to explore things with the Talkeetna Community Council, like day permits for vendors on the street and the tents and all of that, kind of harnessing some of that so that, you know, it's just not at the beginning of the season. I had people calling me daily. How can we set up a business in Talkeetna? And I'm like, the borough has permits for that.
Right. Well, you know, and that is an interesting thing that comes up. First, I guess it's interesting that the Shirley's Burger Barn, and, you know, you get some of these smaller, you might think of them previously as like more informal kind of arrangements, but now in the wake of all this money coming in from, you know, you get people turning into like real, you know, real bigger businesses. But, you know, that's interesting. You mentioned, you know, day permits and the tents down on Main Street. I remember last summer that was a subject of conversation. And I think y'all got in touch with the borough. Community Council talked to the borough. I talked with the borough just to kind of see where everything lies. And, you know, that's one of the things that comes up is the borough regulates us and regulates what goes on here. The Community Council has input and, you know, can push the borough to amend the SPUD and things like that. But ultimately, it's the borough that decides.
And I don't know if even the borough is ready. I mean, we are all, I feel like we are all scrambling. I have people who call me and say, I have a food cart. Can I come down for these weekends? I'm not the authority on that.
Right.
I have to tell them that that is not my jurisdiction. And, you know, food licensing is way different. And I said, well, make sure you have all your licenses in order and then check with the borough or the community council. And but we have people that every week would like to set up a tent in the park.
That's not surprising. Well, and the park's especially complicated because part of that belongs to the borough, part of it belongs to the railroad, part of it belongs to, I don't remember who else, but I think that park is
and
actually
the chamber pays the electricity, and it goes on and on. It's very complicated.
So, I mean, that's one of the interesting things is that you look at a town like, and I guess this is a good way to segue into this conversation is, That all kind of ties back to how does a town of less than 900 people cope with this many folks coming in when you've got, you know, you've got easement issues all over the place around here.
Exactly.
Actually, the street right outside our window is a good example.
Street in Talkeetna is a good example.
You know, but and that's, you know, it seems like a relatively minor thing until you start looking at, okay, you've got businesses wanting to come in, you've got people wanting to buy more property and open up a business, but there's a lot that has to be done. I mean, where do we look as far as even just the infrastructure? You know, this time of year, I tell people I'm really glad that the radio station's on Second Street and not closer to Main Street because you can't drive down Main Street most of the time in the summer. And it's getting, you know, you've kind of got the growth of businesses is starting to creep its way up the spur road now.
It is.
I mean, that's where
yes.
you're at.
Yeah.
And so as that happens and grows and we get more and more traffic, what are some of the things, in your opinion, obviously it's not something you have direct control over, but as far as looking at the infrastructure?
Well, my plans, I know that our board has been discussing, you know, like we've been, the whole chamber, we've been discussing about restroom issues. We've been talking about, you know, we don't want visitors to come here and have a bad experience because, one, they can't find a place to park. Two, their motorhome gets stuck downtown because there's no place to turn around. We don't have signs that say there's no parking for motorhomes downtown, and they come flying into town at 40 miles an hour, and they get to that stop sign, and they have to make a choice left or right, and they don't realize that there's no parking for them.
Right.
And then it gets clogged because there's probably a couple more motorhomes behind them. And but our town is definitely struggling. So we've been starting to throw out some of these issues. My goal as a leader for the chamber, I want to meet with our assemblyman. I want to meet with the borough, some borough officials this winter, this fall maybe, and come up with some ideas on how we can support the thousands and thousands of people. I've been actually documenting it with photographs, and the amounts of people getting off those buses and the amounts of buses. We'll have 9 full buses come into Talkeetna. That's around 60 people on every bus. And that'll come in a matter of 15 minutes.
Wow.
And so I've been just kind of trying to document some of that. And then hopefully we can have some meetings to find out if there's funds available. Us personal businesses are not asking for the funds. We're asking for our town so that it can support, this infrastructure can support not just 1,000 people in our town, but 3,000 or 4,000 people at one time. And so maybe having some running water, flush toilets, benches, some possibly handicap, disability, more parking places for that, or also some mobility. We have some mobility issues too. We're getting people who cannot walk downtown. They're getting off the buses, and maybe some type of transportation or something for them.
Right.
There's just, you know, there's hardly enough seats in the restaurants. It's right. Amazing.
Well, you know, that was something else we mentioned. But, you know, and I guess a lot of people know, but not everybody may know, is that, you know, the buses do let off. They let off right next to Mahay's over there, which is less than a quarter mile from downtown. But, I mean, for some folks, that is a tough slog. You know, you mentioned barely enough seats in the restaurants. And we were talking before we went on air, you know, I in the summertime, I find it real difficult. I like all the restaurants downtown, but it's really difficult for me, especially like on a lunch break or something, to go down there and eat because there's just so many people down there.
And you know the owner. You don't want them to be upset with you that you show up while they're serving 300 people,
right.
You know? I mean, there's all of that feeling too. So when you go down to grab your scone or your beer or fill your grog or growler or whatever, you know, there may be a line, and then you kind of feel guilty for taking maybe a space of a tourist. And yeah, there's you know, so we appreciate our local spots that we can run to or go to and have that little place where we know there might not be as many visitors. And locals are appreciated. And there's a big adjustment here. That a lot of businesses are scrambling. I know myself, we've had to have more employees at certain times. I know for Talkeetna Gifts and Collectibles, all of her shops, same thing, scrambling with employees and trying to get people in place during the busy times. And those busy times can sometimes only be 1 hour during the day.
Right.
And
those 9 buses show
up. When they have the triple train or something like that. And yeah, and we're seeing some unexpected guests that I know our chamber did not know about, but Norwegian Cruise Line, I've seen quite a few of their buses pop into town, talk to their visitors coming off their cruise, their bus, but they were on a cruise. And they said, yeah, they had 1 hour in Talkeetna, but they stayed in Denali and they're staying in Anchorage. And so we're getting some buses just stopping by without, you know, we're expecting the Princess buses and we're expecting the Talkeetna Alaskan Lodge buses.
Right.
Those are on the schedule, you know. And so I think most people are ready. But then when we get these other ones in between, it's nice because it keeps the flow of the traffic going. We actually are seeing more of the Talkeetna Alaskan Lodge folks downtown. I'm not sure why, but definitely loads more.
Interesting.
I mean, every single day when I interview the tourists coming through my shops, we're seeing more of their clientele in Talkeetna. And they're kind of in between the Princess clients. And so, it does help keep traffic flow so you don't have so many dead spots during the day.
Well, you know, and something else that's interesting about that is that I remember a couple of years ago, the conversation really got going about you had Princess and the Talkeetna Alaskan Lodge, which unarguably bring the largest volume of people to the area. But there was a definite thought, a definite opinion by some folks in town that they were trying to basically use Talkeetna as, hey, look at this cool little town. Okay, now come back to us and have dinner. Come back to us and shop in our gift shops. This year, and I can't remember if it's Princess or if it's the Lodge or maybe it's both, but I know one of those or both has resumed kind of that last late shuttle again, like 8 or 9 o'clock.
Yep. They're both actually running until 9 doing, o'clock.
Okay,
yes.
So they've both then kind of expanded those hours out again. I mean, do you see there being a bigger attempt for harmony between those big companies in the town?
I have absolutely no complaints about Princess or the Talkeetna Alaskan Lodge as far as communicating with them and them being a part of our chamber and being helpful and offering resources and helping in our community. I know that there's been talk of different things that they that community members feel that they were had a deaf ear towards, but I'm not experiencing that anymore with their administration.
And you know, actually, I went up to the lodge a few weeks ago and did a piece kind of right before they really opened up for the summertime.
The Princess or Talkeetna.
And you know, that what they're saying is there's definitely an effort to kind of reach out a lot more. I know in the kitchen, one of the things that, that surprised me was they're actively trying to source a lot more local fruit and vegetables in particular. They're they're buying all their bread from local businesses or from a local business now as well, as well as stepping up their the beer that they buy locally as well. Well, we're about a quarter of the way through. If you want to join in on our conversation, you can call 733-1200. My guest is Beth Valentine, president of the Talkeetna Chamber of Commerce. So you know, one of the things that, that comes up repeatedly when we talk about tourism and infrastructure and some of the stuff that we were just talking about is the borough and the interaction with the borough. You said, you know, one of the things you want to speak with Vern Halter about what's going on. And part of that is, you know, you've got the bed tax in the borough. Borough collects bed tax and a lot of it. And I've heard the number 80% thrown around. I haven't seen that in – I haven't seen a firm number on that. But a substantial chunk of the borough's bed tax comes from Talkeetna North, just between the big lodges, as well as all the smaller establishments here in town. But borough code prohibits that money from being targeted necessarily at local communities.
Yes, it's prohibited to be used for infrastructure, which
I mean, that seems
I was
odd to
not,
me.
I know, me too. We should have had Steve Mahay was on that board when that was all decided. And, you know, we need to have a conversation again because it does seem odd. Why is it not targeted for or reserved a large portion of it to support the tourism that we're getting into these communities that need help. We need help. And a community of 1,000 people, it's hard for us to support 3,000 people on some days that are coming into the town.
Right.
You know, we at our business, one day we had 120 flushes at our toilet. 120 flushes. That is almost, you know, a flush a minute sometimes. And you're just thinking, boy, this is, and our line for the bathroom will go all the way out the business. And here we're trying to run a gallery and, you know, we've got the outhouse smell going and, you know, it's difficult. We're struggling to maintain, and there was an article written this June, in early June, in Sunset Magazine. The person said that that Talkeetna, it was the tackiest place they had ever visited, or just tacky amongst tacky. And I was like, oh, that's really nice. And so as I read the article as it was written, I'm trying to think, why did they say that? And did they have a bad experience? And I don't want people to have a bad experience.
Well, yeah.
I want people to have a place to sit down if they need to sit down. I want people to have a picnic table or some place to eat at if they're having a picnic or if they're... I don't want a dog to attack them on the street or
right.
I don't, you know, there's a lot of things that we need to discuss and that money, that bed tax, we want it. I mean, even if we could get $1,000 of it just to pay for toilet paper, that
right.
would be awesome.
Well, you know, that's
small.
And you know, that's an issue that comes up consistently is public restrooms in the town,
yeah.
Because you get a lot of folks coming off these buses who in some cases have, you know, been on them since Whittier.
Every person who comes to Talkeetna has come 1 hour, no matter what, wherever they came from. They've
right.
been riding for 1 hour, whatever they come in, they've been riding for 1 hour or more. And so what is their first stop?
Right. The restroom a lot
yes.
of the time. And so, you know, we have the new ones in the park, the two in the park there.
No running water with that.
Right. DAC has a couple
yep.
that are used there. But I mean, really.
And those hours have been increased, which
right.
is really nice. I mean, they go till 6 at night.
But at the same time, you know, this kind of brings it back around to the sewer and water system as a whole, which
yeah.
I think a lot of folks will know is in quite a bit of debt right now. And the heaviest usage undoubtedly comes in the summer. I mean, that part at least is verifiable. We can look at the number or amount of water going through the treatment plant and know that, okay, we're using like 3-4 times as much water in the summer as in the winter. And so paying for that, and we actually have a question that was called in here. John wants Talkeetna to implement a head tax for water and sewage because of tourists. Which would be like, a $2 entry fee. What would you think about something like that? Obviously, well, that opens a bigger conversation. But as far as something like that goes, what would you think if that were possible?
There would be a lot of logistics with that. Is it, I mean, like as a worker, as an employee or employer comes to work in the morning, do we pay that $2 every day?
Right.
Do just the tourists getting off the buses, the visitors coming in, pay that? I think that we need to entertain all of these thoughts. I think that we need to entertain possibly having a small tax that might go to the water and sewer or,
yeah.
you know, some, who knows? You know,
well,
Talkeetna may have to incorporate because of...
Yeah.
this situation with so many visitors coming in.
I was waiting for that because, you know, and it's a conversation that does come up. And I think it's I've said in private conversations with folks, but I may as well say it here too. I think the time is coming when Talkeetna once again has to consider the question of the I word. Because if you know, in legally, in order to institute any sort of tax like that, or if we wanted to add a Talkeetna bed tax or something like that, the town would have to incorporate because the borough has said unequivocally, you can't use area-wide funds for specific non-area-wide funds like Talkeetna sewer and water. And they're firm on that.
They are firm, and it's written in the laws, in the state law. So now
right.
we don't have a way to use. I feel bad because these visitors are already getting they have a huge bed tax, and they pay it. And they don't pay – they pay it. Most everybody where they come from, they pay a tax. They when they're on food, on items, they're used to paying a tax. So they're always saying, why don't you have a tax? And
like a sales tax?
A sales tax.
Yeah.
And so our response to that is that you're on your cruise ship, you're being taxed, and on your every night you stay in a hotel, you're being taxed, or a B&B, you're being taxed. And so, boy, if we could even have 3%, you know, it would help us out. We wouldn't have to tax per head coming into town,
right.
something like that.
Because
I mean,
you'd end up with that money through other means.
Even 1% would help us.
You'd probably end up with more than, by at the end of the day, you'd probably end up with more than $2. Per person if it were 2 or 3%.
Exactly.
If somebody comes in, eats a meal, buys something at a gift
shop.
The
Mat-Su CVB, they are apparently the structure for the borough to get tourists to the borough.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are given 700 $100,000 of that bed tax a year to run their program that they run.
Okay.
Okay. And they're a visitor bureau. We're a chamber. Wasilla has a chamber. Palmer has a chamber. And none of the chambers receive any of that money. And so, and then not only do they get the $700,000, anything after $1 million, they get. And so they are, they're soaking it in. And unfortunately, they're using, they do use us to get people here.
Sure.
Because there's the flight scene, there's the mountain climbing, there's the fishing up this way, there's the rivers to go jet boating on,
mm-hmm.
there's the roadhouse to go eat the cinnamon roll, and and the view of McKinley, and so
right.
the whole Alaska Range. And so, you know, come to the Mat-Su, yes, there's things to do in Palmer and Wasilla, there's great things to do. But you know what? Talkeetna is the golden boy, you know?
Right.
It's where they're pointing their guests to.
Absolutely. Well, so. Like you said, you know, if nothing else, the view of the mountain is what,
yep.
I mean, that's very clearly, and I think they would tell you substantially, too, that you know, Talkeetna Alaskan Lodge, that's a big part of what they're selling with that lodge, is they've got
their
a
view.
Gorgeous view up there. We do have a question on the line from Carrie, who has wants to talk about pedestrian walking lanes on Main Street. Go ahead, Carrie.
Well, yeah. Hi, Beth, and hi, Philip. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. Could you turn your radio down for me
real quick? Have it on, do
oh,
I?
Oh, dear. We got a little bit of an echo.
I'm echoing, yeah. I can hear it, the echo. Huh. Weird.
Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. I just have spent more time than I'm used to spending on Main Street lately, down there at the dam booth, and I've noticed that a lot of people are parking in what used to be considered pedestrian walking lanes, and I wonder what it would take to get those lanes swept and repainted so that the no parking signs would be visible. What do we have to do to do that? Anybody know?
Beth, any thoughts on that?
We do need them swept. We need them swept all the way out towards the railroad tracks. They did come through and sweep once. I know that. maybe a call to our Department of Transportation here in Talkeetna, the road service people.
Is it local road service that does that?
It is.
Okay.
And they actually...
And they actually you know, is it... Do they contract DNS?
That actually... Well, the DNS sweeping. Is their main maintenance contractor. I don't know if that applies to the sweeping as well, but last night at the Borough Assembly, that was one of the things that came up was the renewal of that DNS contract.
You know, I will try to... I'm going to write this down to make a phone call and ask if that can... be done once again. Because of the wind, we've had a lot of dirt move into town.
and I think if people were able to walk in those lanes instead of people parking in those lanes, it would relieve a little bit of the congestion on Main Street as far as getting vehicles down the road.
And the authority on that would be our troopers.
Yeah, well, as far as enforcing those lanes?
Yes.
Hmm.
It's so hard because... You know, I would love to go down and say, please don't park here. And I think business people do will walk out and say, this is a walking lane. Please don't park here. It blocks the flow of the walking traffic nicely, if we can say that to folks parking. I know when I had my business downtown, I would put notes on people's cars saying you're parking in the pedestrian walkway. And not necessarily say, oh, you're blocking my business for 3 hours, but they are parking in the pedestrian walkway. So, you know, we can remind, this is a good way to remind our town that please don't park in the pedestrian walkways. Let's leave those open so that we're not having people walking down the middle of Main Street.
Okay.
All right. Thanks,
Thank
Carrie.
You. Bye-bye.
Okay. So if you want to join in on the conversation, you can call 733-1200. Or send us an email, dj@ktna.org. And I've got our Facebook page open as well. So there's a number of ways you can get in touch with us. We're getting close to the bottom of the hour here, so let's go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be right back with Talkeetna Chamber President Beth Valentine and talk a little bit more about the state of the tourism industry in the Upper Valley.
Woohoo!
right, we're back with the second half of Sioux Valley Voice here. My guest is Beth Valentine, president of the Talkeetna Chamber of Commerce. And, you know, we've talked a lot about sort of some of the challenges that come along with having, you know, thousands of people coming through every day in a town built for a few hundred. And it wasn't even really necessarily built for the 1,000 people that live here,
exactly.
Let alone the 3,000 or 4,000 we can see in a day. But, you know, the other part of that is it does bring a lot of business. And we kind of opened with talking about how many new businesses have popped up. You know, you're well over 100 members now in the Talkeetna Chamber. And with that comes a lot of, we were talking during the break, with that comes a lot of employment.
Yes.
And a fair bit of it is still seasonal. Yep, no, you're on.
Okay.
A fair bit of that is seasonal. You still have a lot of folks who are doing the work hard, you know, work 50, 60 hours a week all summer,
yep.
so that you can
for
take
four
it easy
months. Yep.
And then take it easy for the winter and get by on what you've made. But one thing you brought up was that there are more year-round jobs now.
Yes, year-round or sustainable jobs that you work so hard from 1st of May to the end of September that you've made enough money to sustain you through the winter. You can pay your rent. You can pay your bills. And I feel like, you know, when I was a kid, there was the FAA, there was the railroad, and only maybe three families were full-time with the railroad in town. We lived at the FAA station, which is a community that doesn't even exist over there anymore. But there was one telephone guy, MTA. There was an electric guy. and there was, you know, there was very few. There was teachers. And so for our community to grow as like a base population, this tourism is opening the doors for greater commerce, mm-hmm. and lots of greater commerce. And I think people are finding that they can work here for 4 to 5 months and then travel in the winter or stay here in the winter, and they've made what they need to make for a full year. And that's a completely different game for Talkeetna.
Sure.
You know, we...
Before that, you used to have to go up to the slope to do something like that.
Yes. And so that's neat, because then our population could be a little bit more stable. It can grow. You know, I know my businesses have grown exponentially. You know, it was one, now it's two, and now... You know, it's one employee, maybe two employees a day. And so,
right.
you know, in each business. And so, or maybe nine employees. Or, you know, I look at all these, the Bulgarians that come here.
Yeah, you get a lot of folks on J-1 cultural yep. exchange visas here.
Yep. But then we're giving employment to many kids returning from college. Loads of local kids are working in local businesses here, getting the experience of what it means to own your own business and run your own business. And another thing we were talking about before we came on was land sales and house
Absolutely.
Sales and how that has, even through the crunch of the economy, Talkeetna never really declined, that we kind of stayed maintained, and we still are there in the real estate business. I look at that and
for sure.
You know, we're still high.
Well, and you know, in fact, I've seen multiple shows on TV where real estate in the Upper Valley is getting sold. And I'm doing air quotes for those listening.
Yeah, remember that's untrue.
Reality is also yes. in air quotes when it comes to reality
exactly.
TV. But I mean, that does kind of lead me into another part of the conversation, which is, you know, there is a reality TV trend that's been going. It's been going for a while.
It can't be called reality TV anymore. It has to be like reality. It's not even reality. So drama made up TV, maybe we should call it.
Sure. But I mean, whatever we call it, the thing yeah. is, there's been a lot of focus in a few of those shows on Talkeetna. There's the yeah. Railroad Alaska show. Those folks were just here this spring filming the next season. A lot of the real
Living
estate
Alaska
shows,
was here.
Living Alaska, Buying Alaska, right. Ultimate Survival Alaska had Willie Pretty on. So there's a lot of Talkeetna showing up on these nationwide shows now. And Alaska tourism in general is up because even beyond those, there's another dozen shows about Alaska. Do you see that having a major impact?
Yes. And most definitely. Many of the people that were walking into my business in April and May, the stragglers, not with big groups or anything, mm-hmm. the stragglers were moving here.
Really?
Yes. I could not believe it. I just was like, oh my gosh, what are we doing to ourselves? We will not be rural Alaska after a while if these shows continue.
Then that's an interesting point, and I think you'll find that mentality from a lot of people. The question becomes then, if that once that reality TV trend moves on, which it eventually will, you know, mm-hmm. you've got more and more shows about hillbillies making moonshine now. That seems to be a thing. And, you know, the next trend will come. I mean, do you think what has been built in Talkeetna and in Alaska as a whole as far as promotion of tourism here, do you think that's sustainable once that trend fades?
I think so. I do think it's going to be sustainable. I think it's increasing our numbers this year. Our numbers are much higher than what I know what we projected. We're just seeing so many more new types of people coming here, mm-hmm. new groups, kid groups. Every day I'm seeing new kid groups. Their chaperones come into my shops. They're telling us about their 30 kids that they have with them.
Right.
I do think it's going to be sustainable because what's happening is some of those people are moving here. Mm. And so then they're going to be having businesses or they're going to be working here. And their relatives are going to be coming and visiting, and it's a cycle. And I talked to many people. I think I talked to 7 actual people that were moving here because they followed a certain reality TV show.
Oh my goodness.
Now, when you talk to the tourists that have families that are getting mm-hmm. off the buses, the visitors that come in off the buses and stuff, if it's a family, a lot of times they will say one of their children got hooked on some reality TV show about Alaska and they had to come and visit.
They had
so
to come
this
to Alaska.
Is why they're here. And I'm like, really? And they're like, yes, that's why.
Wow.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's something that we do see some of it here, but, you know, there's a lot of folks in Talkeetna and the Upper Valley as a whole that don't even own a television and will yeah. tell you that. I think even those that do, I don't know that we really get the full spectrum of just how much of Alaska there is on TV, or again, Alaska in air quotes.
Well, if you travel outside of Alaska and you tell anyone you're from Alaska, their first response normally is to you, I watched the Sarah Palin show, or I watched, you know,
right.
The Deadliest Catch, or, oh, my husband's favorite show is The Railroad Alaska.
Or Alaska State Troopers.
Yes,
or,
so many yeah. people in the lower 48 watch those shows. It doesn't matter if the Alaskans do.
Right.
Because it's not them
They're not
who
marketing
are visiting.
To us.
They're
yeah.
not marketing to us. In fact, I just saw my first, you know, Railroad Alaska show this spring, and it made me cry because that was what my dad did. And
okay.
that was our life. The snow fleet, the moose on the tracks, all of him going out early morning, late at night, or not coming home because problems on the railroad tracks. And I didn't care about all the other people who lived up the tracks. And I mean, I do care about you, but I that was not what that program to me was about. It was about what, you know, we experienced as a family with a railroad dad.
Right.
And so, yeah.
Interesting.
It was really a special thing to me.
All right. Well, we've got about 20 minutes left. If you want to join in on our conversation, you can call 733-1200. Send an email to dj@ktna.org. Or leave us a message on our Facebook page. I guess to kind of continue on one of the things we were talking about, you were talking about real estate and how that never really slowed down, even during the economic crunch, and it's picking up right now. One of the things I've been looking at recently is businesses for sale in town. There's a few on Main Street. At the Fairview Inn, a couple of weeks ago, there was a big sign put up for sale. The chocolate shop is for sale. One of the coffee shops in town is for sale. Nagley's and the West Rib have been for sale for a little while. You know, when I looked on the website for the realtor the other day, it said sale pending. So there may be somebody buying that's the reaction a lot of people have, because what happens if you get somebody from outside or even Anchorage, mm-hmm. who doesn't get it? You know what I mean?
I know. And what I say to that is, come on, Talkeetna people, band together, go in with each other, have a business co-op, do something where maybe Talkeetna residents can buy these places, because these are our historical places. Mm-hmm. And we don't want someone coming in, possibly not even from our own country, coming in and buying the place. Mm-hmm. I guess there
are some regulations as far as the historic side of things, where at least those historic businesses like Nagley's, like the Fairview, they have to, at least the exterior has to maintain a certain appearance. But, just as far as the culture, a lot of those businesses that are for sale, they're those businesses that have those full-time jobs for local people that you were talking about earlier.
Right. That's right. They maintain, they maintain what has been here for forever, mm-hmm. as long as I can remember, for 40-some years. And so they maintain a lot of the character of Talkeetna, and we don't want to lose that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's creative ways where you could... if there's business people out there looking for opportunity, there's opportunity here in Talkeetna, and it's only going to get better. And get with a friend, get with a business partner, draw up some contracts, whatever you need to do, buy those businesses, keep it local.
Right. And they're, a lot of folks are kind of, I think, thinking along the same lines. And there's a lot of concern. What's to stop necessarily, and this is I don't want to say worst case scenario, but in some people's minds it would be, what if the Hard Rock Cafe were to buy the Fairview Inn?
Wow. I never thought about that.
or Burger King were to buy the pub. I don't think either of those things are happening, but it is an interesting what if kind of scenario, because mm-hmm. really there's a limited amount that can be done. The town is getting more and more national notoriety.
Right.
So what happens? I wasn't here when they built Subway out at the Y, but I hear there were a lot of folks that were not happy about that. But now, the owners there have made a real effort to become part of the community.
They really have, yes. They work with the chamber. They donate to the chamber. They donate to our concert series, Subway. But I'm super happy that they're at the Y. I really am.
As opposed to on Main Street.
Yes, but they serve a great purpose out there because of the sports at the schools. The kids mm-hmm. are at least getting some healthy meals after school. They get the snow machine traffic in the winter. They're busy. They're busy out there.
I stopped in there a couple of weeks ago on my way to a meeting, and they were very busy that day.
So I think they're happy they're at the Y too. There's nothing that says one of these big owners of some type of restaurant chain, whatever, could come in and buy these kinds of things. But that's why I say to my Talkeetna residents, please keep it local. Go cash in your gold.
Save your PFDs.
Exactly.
It's reminiscent, and it's kind of what you're saying really reminds me. Some folks may not know, I'm from Texas originally. Another big state, not as big as I've been told many, many times, but in Austin is a very unique kind of place. In fact, I describe Talkeetna as Austin in a thimble sometimes, because there's a very similar vibe. But in Austin, they've got this big campaign, Keep Austin Weird, and it's their version of support local businesses, locally owned, et cetera, et cetera. It kind of seems like we're on the cusp of something like that here, because you do have a lot of people with a lot of money from outside potentially starting to look at us and look at property.
They're coming in. They're coming in every day on these buses.
Right.
We have doctors. We have lawyers. We have loads of people coming in and viewing this town and looking for business opportunities. I have people who ask, who owns this property right here? Every day we have people, every single day I have other photographers dropping by business cards and wanting a piece of the pie here. They want me to carry their works every day. There hasn't been one day yet. And most of the time there's multiple a day. And so there's people, you know, they're pounding on the doors to get in on this. They see it happening.
Okay. So. We do have another caller on the line. Morgan wants to talk about minimum wage increase, which is something that's potentially going to happen in the near future. Go ahead, Morgan.
Oh, hi there. Actually, this segues perfectly.
Oh, we're having a little bit of trouble. I don't know. You may be on a cell phone. I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you.
Oh, how's that? Any better?
A little better. Yep. Go ahead.
Does the chamber support the minimum wage ballot? Because with increases in property values, with all this investment, it's going to be really hard for people to invest in lives and create a home.
Okay. So I think I caught most of that, okay. Which was, does the chamber have a position on the minimum wage increase ballot measure, which is going to be coming up in a few months here? And there was something in there about property tax, property value, property tax as well, and the ability of people to live in the town.
Right. As the value goes up, you know, places like Vail or Jackson Hole.
Yeah. I'm losing you again, Morgan. I'm sorry.
Okay, so, Morgan, just to answer that, we are not a politically active organization. We're a nonprofit. And we do not take a political stance on anything because we cannot lose our nonprofit the way we're set up. But personally, you know, business owners, of course, are going to have their opinions on this. And so I'm going to step out of the chamber big hat right now and just say what I was thinking this morning in my head. I pay my employees a certain wage, especially the first year, because there's a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
And gas prices are $4 a gallon right now. If that keeps going up, most of my employees have to drive to work at least 10 miles. Some of them drive 14 to 28 miles.
Wow.
So they work almost 1 hour for just their gas to get to work. And so, you know, I don't know how other businesses owners feel about this, but personally, it all has to iron out in the end. And so your business expenses, you have to see how your business is run and what you can put into your employees. Now, investing into employees is always a good thing. It's always been a good thing for me in my business because my employees want to come back. My employees do a good job for me. They're willing to learn things. They're willing to take on more responsibility when I give them more pay. And so that has always been a positive experience for me. If I increase their pay, they're happier. And so that's my opinion without saying an opinion for the chamber.
Okay. Well, you know, and I think what I've found, because this was not my first job in Talkeetna, I've worked a couple of other places in town. I think the proposal is for it will eventually get minimum wage to $10.15 an hour.
Oh, wow.
I think a lot of jobs in Talkeetna, and definitely not all of them, but many jobs in Talkeetna are already over that bar.
Yeah.
just because there's a competition for labor.
Right.
And it's kind of what you were saying. You know, we got a lot of local kids, a lot of local folks working, but you know, we do have to, import people both from other places in Alaska, from other places in the country, from other places in the world. People come in because there is a demand for labor and there's a competition among businesses to get the good employees.
Right.
That'll be interesting. I'll be curious to see how many businesses really have a major impact if that minimum wage increase happens.
That's a large jump, though. I think that's a huge jump.
I think it's incremented, but right. Eventually it would get to that point, or 10-10 maybe.
Any high school student right now could get out of, still be enrolled in high school, and they can expect to go to any job here in town, any business, and probably get paid $10 an hour. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, you think about that, and they've got to run their car back and forth mm-hmm. to get to work, and we're not even talking about people who own property.
Right.
People who own property.
Which I think was the other part of Morgan's question.
Yes, exactly. Have even more expenses.
So, absolutely. Well, we're down to it. We got about 10 minutes left. There is still a little bit of time if anybody else wants to call in, 733-1200. One thing I want to talk about and it kind of dovetails in with the discussion about year-round jobs is winter tourism.
Yay. It's happening.
It is happening. And the state, I know ATIA is, I mean, they're making a concerted effort right now to increase winter tourism across the state. Right now in Talkeetna, my observation is winter visitors are based around a few things. You've got the snow machiners and the winter sports type folks that come up for just, you know, weekends or come up from J-Bear
right.
for the weekend. But you've also, the big major spikes happen around major events. You've got USIC,
right.
you've got the Bachelor Auction.
The Brew Fest.
There's a few big events that, I mean, it looks like Main Street on 4th of July
right.
in
and
the middle of the winter.
Right, and if we're just talking about, we get these conferences. We get women conferences, ladies retreats. That's also adding to commerce in Talkeetna in the wintertime.
Right.
But, you know, it's, you know, how it used to be where moose dropping, Miner's Day, ball field tournaments were our main days in Talkeetna.
In the summer.
So now we're seeing that kind of switch to the winter.
Right.
The bigger events, the Iditarod, it brings in people. But now there's starting to be enough events that something's happening almost every single month or twice a month in Talkeetna during the wintertime to draw people in. So I think more businesses are being open. I think restaurants are. Our season's expanding.
Absolutely.
You know, May 1st, if you're just opening your doors on May 1st, you know, I do weekends in April trying to get ready for May mm-hmm. 1st. But it's happening. And it's extending on the other end. The buses may stop mid-September, but the Alaskans don't stop. The
right.
Alaskans, you know, they're running. They run up to do Denali, and they sure as
the
heck want that
or,
lodge open so that
right.
they can come home and have, you know, come back and have lunch on Sunday on their drive back to Anchorage.
Right.
And, you know, so there's our season is definitely expanding, and we're seeing more people. And this is neat because the B&Bs, then when the big lodges close down, then that puts the money into the pockets of real locals that own the B&Bs in
sure.
town, and then they get the business all winter long.
Right.
And
in full disclosure, that includes my parents, that group.
Anyway, so, you know, that they're seeing a lot more bookings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, again, because I know, you know, because my folks do own a B&B, I know for a fact that they're seeing more and more spring and fall, especially, you know, we're seeing a lot more spring break traffic,
yep.
things like that. Folks coming from abroad. You know, when I was working over at the airport a couple of years ago over spring break, I noticed there were a lot more people, a lot more Chinese speaking people coming for spring break. And a lot of them were going to school other places in the States. But it was overwhelmingly this spike in Chinese-speaking tourists.
Chinese
and so I don't
tourists,
know.
The increase, I think I heard a speaker say 300% of increase of Chinese tourists. That somehow they have been, in fact, I had a guy
maybe
in
they've got reality
China,
TV
and
too.
He's in America right now in New York City because they were released to be able to come and visit America. And so, yeah, there's been a big switch in Chinese people allowed to come to the U.S.
Okay, maybe that's driving it. We do have one more question, and I think we've got time for it. So Bill has a question about the Montana Creek Waterfall. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, what I'm wondering is why isn't that promoted? It used to be people were going there. It's a four-mile hike. It's a great hike. And you have, I don't know, all kinds of stuff you'll see. Beavers, all kinds of stuff along the way, and then half mile switch back to the top, and you're looking down on the pond. When the salmon are in, you have all those bears. I mean, people pay all this money to get drawn and then go out there into the Aleutians and see
right.
bears, and we got that right here. and there's so many fish that they don't even bother people. I mean, I've never heard of anybody getting bothered there at the Montana Creek 90-foot fall.
No, Bill, is that the trailhead for those falls? Is that the trailhead there at Yoder?
Yeah, right after
Lutheran
the bridge.
Trail.
Okay. You know, that's interesting that you bring that up because I've had a couple of conversations of late, and I actually went back to 2010 and listened to some of the features that KTNA did back then on the over-congestion of the parking there.
Yes.
And that it was obstructing the trailhead in a lot of cases, and you had a lot of litter and a lot of human
waste.
Well,
they're not supposed to overnight park there.
Right. But a lot of folks do. So, I mean, as far as that goes, I mean, is that something that's on your radar?
You know, Bill, do you know who maintains that trail?
It used to be that Youth Corps.
Yeah, the Youth Corps did work on that trail. I remember because my son was on that. I think it's not promoted because it's not monitored, and sometimes that trail can be dangerous.
The community needs to do something about that. I used to go to all the way to Palmer Correctional Facility and get prisoners and bring them up.
Right,
but
and
anyway,
they would work out there. I remember
thing
that.
Before we run out of time, I wanted to say is, you know, it used to be because of that waterfall goes in the winter. There's a giant ice thing that goes up, and people used to climb that a lot, you know, because it's this beautiful-looking, I don't know what you call it, ice wall, I guess. But.
How many crossings are there on that trail? It's a safety issue, too. I mean, if we promote it, I've walked it where I've been up to my, you know, past my belly button, wading across the creek to, you have to cross the creek like four times, right?
Well, I don't know what time of year you went, but we used to have cottonwoods, you know, 4 or 5 foot cottonwoods crossed a lot of those crossings. But
I think with the floods,
doing
too.
Doing trails work back then.
Well, I think, too, that might be something for an individual business to look at, you know, because you've got folks. I know of at least one or two businesses that kind of, and thanks for the call, Bill.
Yes.
I know of at least one or two businesses that kind of specialize in those, you know, backcountry type of hikes, and that's not terribly backcountry, but it is a bit.
It's a beautiful hike.
It is a beautiful hike.
But I can understand why. I mean, I've been on it with a school class one time and literally carrying kids across on my back because it was so deep.
Well, and you also run into issues there because that is water. Montana Creek isn't an anadromous stream. Bill was saying, there are salmon running in there. And so one of the things you couldn't have, say, a four-wheeler tour company there because crossing an anadromous stream with a four-wheeler requires a state permit.
That trail is not supposed to have motorized vehicles on. There's signs on that.
Right. Not supposed to.
Right.
Like I said, I got some calls recently kind of asking about that and the state of it. And I guess that kind of goes back to handling how do we handle as a community the number of people that we get in here.
Yes.
So, which is going to, I don't think that question's going away. And maybe
it's not going to go away. It's going to get bigger and bigger. I mean, we got trucks washing down the Big Sioux at Rabidoo.
Right.
You know? I mean, there's a lot of issues.
Right. Well, we are just about out of time. My guest has been Beth Valentine, president of the Talkeetna Chamber of Commerce. If you missed any of the show or want to listen again, we'll be re-airing it at 7 o'clock tonight, or you can go to ktna.org and listen anytime. Join us next time on July 2nd. My guest will be Wayne Dyock, project manager for the Susitna Watana Hydroelectric Project. I expect we'll get a few phone calls.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm Philip Manning. Thanks for listening.